Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Becky Bembe. I'm pastoring a church called Sovereign Grace Bible Church. It's in Olivenhout, just outside Centurion. I'm also an elder at Bethany Baptist Church, where Chris came from. All these good teachings he learned from us. I'm not alone. I'm with my wife, Tandi, and my three children. I have two today, but I've got three children. And it is a great joy and a privilege for me to be here at Secunda Baptist Church, especially in the occasion of bringing God's word. So please turn in your Bibles to Psalms, the book of Psalms, Psalms 32. We're going to read together from verse 1 to verse 5. Psalm 32, verse 1 to verse 5. And the title of my message this morning, Blessed Are the Forgiven. We are living in a world hostile to God. And on the other hand, the professing Christian continues to live with unconfessed sin. So my aim this morning is to encourage you to be a people who will quickly confess your sin to God, so that we may have a healthy relationship with our God. Psalm 32, verse 1 to 5. And I'll read then from the ESV. It reads as follows. A maskil of David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bone wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Let us bow in prayer. Our gracious God and allowing Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, we pray your name, O God. We pray that your word, Heavenly Father, will indeed be our sole rule for faith this morning and practice. We pray that, Lord, we will submit ourselves to you. We will submit ourselves under the authority of your word. We pray, Lord, that you may uplift our spirit and teach us to obey you. We pray that, Lord, we may have the desire then to follow Christ, to be his children, to be like him all the days of our lives. We pray, Lord, that you may apply your word by the power of your spirit this morning. Teach us, O God. Speak, your children are ready to listen. Speak, O Lord, until this church is filled with your glory. In the name of your Son, my Lord Jesus Christ, may we all say amen. This psalm is entitled, A Maskil of David. It is a psalm of divine instruction. A maskil can refer to a musical instrument or a tune in which the psalm was supposed to be sang. But in general, a maskil is a psalm that comes to instruct or to teach. And the teaching or the instruction before us this morning or the lesson is of God's divine forgiveness, but also a warning to those who reject the means to receive that experience of the forgiveness of sin. Indeed, this is a well-known psalm. And I know most of us have read this psalm before. It's a well-known psalm. I just wonder if the truth presented by this psalm is a well-known truth in your own heart. The blessedness of forgiveness. And I believe that in order for us to appreciate the power, the glory and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be reminded time and time again of the importance of confessing our sins and seeking to live in the joy of forgiveness. This psalm seems to be written after Psalm 51. After David's confession and cry to God for mercy, after he lusted for another man's wife and took her for himself and finally killed the husband for her wife. He tried to cover his sins. I hope we remember that. But there was soon great distress and trouble in his life. He lost his peace within his soul. He had sleepless nights and nightmares, terrible nightmares. Not because he felt guilt within his soul for the things that he had done, but when his conscience kept condemning him, he would not listen. He kept lying to himself, saying maybe it will be over soon. Perhaps telling himself, I have already married the woman. There is no need for me to do anything any longer. I don't have to feel sad or guilty about my sin. Actually, there is nothing I can do. Uriah is dead. It is impossible to ask for forgiveness from a dead man. We all know that. Perhaps that's what he was thinking. I just have to move on with my life. But church, you cannot move on with your life unless sin is resolved. You cannot move on with your life unless the issue is resolved. Unless God moves on, we cannot move on. It was in the evening when David sinned. When nobody could see, but the all-seeing God who sits behind closed doors could see him. The all-seeing God who searches the heart and is only pleased with uprightness saw his evil deeds. The Bible, when you read in the book of Samuel, it tells us that he was walking upon the roof of his palace when he saw this very beautiful married woman washing herself. And of course, most of the works of darkness, we all know the works of darkness happens in the evening because people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Friends, there is always a problem when people are found where they should not be. There is always a problem where you are found where you're not supposed to be. When you are not supposed to be where God expects you to be, there is always trouble, my friend. Because the devil prowls around and roaring like a lion, looking and seeking for someone to devour. David was sitting at home instead of being in a battle with his army. And there he became the devil's victim. Because the devil is looking for people who are not where God wants them to be. People that are not in their prayer closet. People that are not where they're supposed to be with the children of God. People who are not in the gathering of believers even this morning. Just imagine someone steal your car at 9:30 a.m. Sunday at McDonald's. But the church started at 9. What were you doing there? We are not where you're supposed to be. So through this psalm, the Spirit of God wants to teach other transgressors from the reflection of David's experience that though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Three reasons I want to point out from these verses. Why we should confess our sins to the Lord. Why we cannot just sit around and act as if everything is okay. Three reasons I want to bring to you this morning. The first one, it is because of the misery of unconfessed sin. The misery of unconfessed sin. And that is what we see in verses 3 and 4. It says, for when I kept silence, my bone wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. This is an experience, my friend, in which no man in and of himself has the power to deal with. There is no therapeutic office that can help you. There is no drug that you can take to cool down these firing arrows that comes within you because of sin. the internal and external torturing and tormenting arrows of sin. That is what you will experience, regardless of your eternal justification that we have found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you remain in sin, that is the experience you're going to go through. Unconfessed sin brings great misery upon the body and the soul. The misery that you begin to experience reflects that the relationship you have with God is broken. It needs to be restored. The misery reflects that sin has come in and find dwelling and find place in the heart of the believer. God is offended. His holy character is violated by the transgression of his law and your rebellion. And that is relevant in the way we deal with our own sin. We often don't take sin very serious. David says here in verse number 3, "When I kept silence, my bone wasted away or waxed old through my roaring or groaning all day long." What we see here is that sin in the life of a believer is an unwelcome presence. Such darkness cannot share the same temple with light. You cannot have the Holy Spirit within you and have peace while still remaining in sin. No one can have peace in the presence of sin. David felt like decaying from inside. He became a prisoner of sin. His bones waxed old, if you read the King James, wasted away according to our lovely ESV. His bones waxed old. He could be quiet about his sin, but he could not quiet his conscience. There was great misery in his life because of sin. Sin continued to eat him up from the inside and slowly drained out marrow from his bones, as it were. That is the pain he felt as far down to the depth of his soul. He says, "When I nursed my sin," that's the problem we do these days. When I nursed my sin, when I treated my sin like a treasure, when I hid my sin from God, I became miserable. I was tortured day and night. I was crushed. I felt like my bones were crushing together, as if there was no muscles and sinew. It was crushing together. That's how I felt. There was great physical and emotional suffering in my life. Friends, there is no rest for sinners in this world, just as there will be no rest for sinners in the world to come. But the agony of sin, we begin to feel it while we're still alive in this world. Though he was silent and nursing his sin, there was no silence within his heart. He will cry out loud and roar like a lion, but his heart was still not broken. Is it not the same today? People cry out so loud when they are in trouble and problems. They cry out so loud as if they are looking for help, but they will not turn away from their sin. David roared like a lion all day long, but he will not turn. He will not come to God and confess his sin. People are not moved. They will rather keep sin within their hearts. They will pour out tears of remorse, but with no intention of repentance. They will not cry out to the Lord who is in heaven. They will not lift up their eyes unto heaven, say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But they will nurse the sin, keep it inside as if it's something like a treasure. You can't treasure sin inside your heart where you're supposed to treasure the word of God. It is important that sin is confessed because of this great misery that sin brings upon the heart of a person, upon the life of a person. Verse 4 says, "Day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." Because of unconfessed sin, the hand of God was upon David. There was severe divine chastisement. That is what a refusal to confess does. That is why, my friend, you cannot hide under the banner of the Christian faith, thinking it is unnecessary to confess your sins, claiming that you are already a child of God. God forbids. In most cases, when people nurse their sins, they say it is not that bad. Why will people say it's not that bad? They compare their sins to the sins of others. They take that scale called a triple beam balance scale. The one that when you put something, it goes like that. That's what they do. They put the other guy on the other side and he puts himself this side. Then he looks better. But friends, we don't put ourselves in the scale of man. We put ourselves in the scale of God. But when it's all been said and done, there is terrible consequences. David says, my body started to lose its own vitality. His body started to wax old. It's a pity that people want to serve God in hypocrisy these days, my friends. The body will be in the presence of the Lord, but the heart will be far away from God. They will participate in the church and convince everyone that everything is fine. But within the soul, there is great torments while nursing their sins and then going under divine chastisement, characterized by great discomfort and disharmony in their lives, and sometimes in a form of sickness. That's what sin brings sometimes. Sickness in the body. Of course, not all sickness is a result of sinning. But ultimately, all sickness comes because of the fall. So what I'm trying to say, my friend, to you is that there is a direct connection between sin and suffering. There is a direct connection between sin and sickness. David suffered. He felt like dying, but he couldn't die. Suffered all day long. Suffered both physical and spiritual, or emotional, if you want to put it that way. And that's what unconfessed sin does. Verse 4 says, the hand of God was heavy upon me. The very hand of God that is supposed to protect us was against him. The very hand of God that's supposed to protect his children goes against his children when we are in sin. Oh, what a good and a faithful God that he is. He will not allow us to continue in sin. He will do whatever it takes to show us that we are not standing right with him. He loves his children so much that he will not let them continue in sin. He punishes those that he loves, says the word of God. But woe unto those who will feel the heavy hand of punishment or the chastisement of God. Oh, the misery and the pain until you humble yourself. David says, my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. He was losing strength and he was losing focus just because of hiding sin. He's not really suffering for the sins that he committed. That's not. He's suffering because of hiding the sin. There's still consequences of the things that he did. But hiding the sin killed him from within. My strength dried up as by the heat of summer. I could not stand any longer. I lost focus. But every morning, he had to rise up and act like a king. Go in the temple and worship with the people of God. Every morning, he had to put an act as if everything is fine, so that the people don't look at the king like a miserable king. But inside, he was dying. Going up and down, sacrificing, bringing offering to the Lord, jumping around and singing praises and songs. But inside, he was dying. Because unconfessed sins lead to great spiritual depression and agony. One commentator says, the hand of God was pressing him down so that he can lift him up. That's what God does to his children. He presses you down so that he can lift you up. Because God is love. He will not let us continue in sin. And my friend, I can tell you this morning, if the Spirit of God does not impose guilt upon your soul because of sin, perhaps you are not saved. If the Spirit of God does not impose guilt upon you because of your sin, there's a possibility you are not saved. If your sin does not worry you, you have a reason to be worried. But most of us are not willing to admit that we nurse our sin. But if you be honest with yourself and ask yourself a question, but how many times have you refused to confess your sin? Or perhaps how many times you have confessed your sin quickly without thinking, and you promise God that you will never do it again. But a few minutes later or an hour later, you came to God to confess the very same sin and you made the very same promise. Is that not nursing your sin? Friends, we cannot let this spiritual stupidity, if you will, to go on within our souls. God will not let us continue in sin. God will not let you get away with sin. He loves you so much to let you continue in sin. Stop nursing your sin. You will experience great misery. That's the reason we must confess our sin. But secondly, you should confess your sin because of the benefit of confession. There's a benefit in confession. What is the benefit? Confession is a pathway to pardon. It leads to the forgiveness of sin or to freedom. Through confession, the Spirit of God brings you back to the fellowship with God. If you look at verse number 5, there are two words that are used there for confession. One is acknowledge, which means to take responsibility of your sin, to know sin, to admit the sin. That is what acknowledge means. The second one is confess. He says, I acknowledge my sin. Secondly, I said I will confess my sin or my transgressions to the Lord. To confess, it means to make a public acknowledgement of your sin. That does not mean you must go behind that corner there and says to the priest, Father, forgive me, I have sinned. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm saying public confession of sin. But it does mean that you need to talk to someone about your sin. You need to face your pastor about your sin. If you have sinned against your wife, you need to tell your wife, I've sinned against you. There must be that acknowledgement of sin, that confession of sin. Don't let things go through as if I must read between the lines that you are sorry. You need to say, I'm sorry. There's no reading between the lines. Say it. Mean it. I will hear it. Sin must be acknowledged. Confession must be made. The Bible says the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And I can tell you this morning, my friend, everything that displeased the Lord is sin. It must be dealt with. It must be acknowledged. It must be confessed. David says, I acknowledge my sin to you. That is the first step to take after feeling the burden of sin. Acknowledging the sin. He accepts that he is guilty before God. He admits his failure to meet the standard of God. He puts the blame upon himself. Unlike what we learned from our father Adam, blaming each other all the time, blaming someone else for your sin. David takes the sin upon himself. Remember in the Garden of Eden, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me fruit of the tree I ate. No, it didn't go down that way. The serpent deceived me and I ate. So somebody's pointing to someone. David says, no, it is me, O Lord, standing in the need of your forgiveness. I've done all these things. I called the woman from her own house. I killed the husband. I hid my sin before you. I did all these things. Me. It was me. Will you be honest to the Lord yourself, my friend? Or will you be swallowed by pride, making excuses as if God does not know your heart? That's what people do. They act as if God does not see in their heart. David says, I admit that I failed you. Speaking to the Lord, I failed you, O God. I admit I failed my family. I admit I failed my friends. I failed the church. I failed the community. I admit it. It's on me. And today I will not hide my sin and my guilt before you. I have heard the voice of the prophet, so I will not harden my heart. I will confess my sin to the Lord. I will expose myself to you so that I may find peace. Only if we expose ourselves to the Lord, we find peace. David makes one of the greatest resolutions a man can make, my friends. He says, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. He takes his sins to God. There has to be that personal resolution. There has to be that personal decision. There has to be a self-determination. You need to seek for the forgiveness. You need to seek reconciliation with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom alone is able to break the shackles of sin in your life. the acts of rebellion against God's authority must be confessed. You need to come to your senses. You need to realize, you need to see that every time you sin against a holy God. You sin against the God who created the heaven and the earth, the one who upholds the universe in the palm of his hand, the one who's got the right to take life and throw into hell. You have sinned against God if you sin. David finally recognized that. He thought he sinned against the man. He thought he is not responsible for his sin. The man is dead. No. Only unto you, O God, I have sinned. David finally recognized that. And I pray that we also recognize that we sin against God when we sin. Turn to Psalm 51. Let's hear the confession of David. As he says these things to the Lord. As he brings and he pours his heart unto God. Psalm 51. I pray that we may confess like David, my friends. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundance, mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your ways and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Page me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. See now, he admits, he speaks about the bones that God broke in his heart, in his life. Let God fix. Only God can fix this situation. He says, let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Hold on, that's verse number 13. There you can learn, you can see. You cannot tell other people. This church cannot be full with people. You cannot tell other people about their sins that they must come if you yourself have your own sin. He says, if you forgive me, I will tell transgressors of your goodness. You need to understand and receive the goodness of God yourself before you can speak to other people about the goodness of God. That's what David says. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praises. You will not delight in sacrifice, or I will give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offering. And the sacrifice of God, I have broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Let me stop there for now. Verse number 17. That's the benefit of confession. You address a living God who is willing to forgive a broken and a contrite heart. He's always willing to forgive us our sins. And Apostle Paul, referring to this process of recognizing sin and being responsible for it, he says it's called godly sorrows. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10. Godly sorrows. And that is what is missing in the church today. Godly sorrows. That is what is missing in relationships today. That is why there are relationships that are broken. Marriages that falls apart. No godly sorrows. Friends, don't let sin silence you. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and run with patience, or run with endurance, the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of your faith. Bring your sins to God. His hand is not shortened that he cannot save. His ear is not dull that he cannot hear. You need to know that in your sin, you grieve the heart of God. You need to take full responsibility of sin, confess it, and enjoy complete fellowship with God. That is the benefit of confession. You becoming a friend of God. There is friendship and fellowship that flows from God through His Son by the power of the Holy Spirit to you. And you become free. There is benefit in confession. Fellowship with God. Thirdly, you confess your sin because of the joy of forgiveness thereafter. Because of the joy of forgiveness thereafter. It says in verse number 1. Go back to verse 1. Remember, I started from 3. I went to 5. Now, verse 1. I'm still in Psalm 52. Let's go to 32. Verse 1. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is not deceit. John Calvin, commenting in this psalm or in these two verses, he says, true happiness consists only in the free forgiveness of sins, for nothing can be more terrible than to have God for your enemy. There can be nothing more terrible to have God as your enemy. So true forgiveness consists of the free forgiveness that comes from God. Only then you can have joy. Only then you can be a happy person. The word blessed means happy. Oh, the happiness of one who is forgiven. Where did it start? Look at verse number 5. The last part of verse 5. After he confessed his sin, he says, you forgave the iniquity of my sin. God forgave the iniquity of his sin. That's what the psalmist says. God and God alone could take away the sin and the guilty of sin upon him. He takes the sin and the guilt and you remain free. He separates the two and takes it away from your shoulders. Only God and God alone can take away the punishment and the consequences of sin. Only God and God alone can remove a person from the path or take away the person from a path that leads to destruction. Only God and God alone. The psalmist reveals God's wondrous grace. Says, all the joy of the man who is forgiven. All the joy of a man who is right with God. There is joy when a man or a woman. When I say man, I'm talking about humanity. I'm not talking gender. There is joy when God has taken away your sin. That is why you sing with gladness. You serve the Lord with gladness, with a heart that is filled with blessings. You just want to extend blessings to others. That is why you open your home to strangers. You open your home to others. You bless other people because you are forgiven. You understand the gift of forgiveness. You forgive easily yourself. Psalmist says, God and God alone can take away the sin and the guilt of sin, the punishment of sin, the consequences of sin. He reveals that wondrous grace of God, the joy of a man who is right with God. David is no longer crying. Remember, he was crying, says in verse 3, for when I kept silence, my bone wasted away through my groaning. He was groaning all day long. But he says, now I'm no longer crying. He's not speaking like Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 13, Cain who killed his own brother. He says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. That's Cain crying. David says, no, that's no longer how it feels upon me. So if David was living here in Secunda, next to Sasol, in 2015, he would have said, amazing grace, how sweet thy sound. That saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, now I am found. I was blind, I can see. My chains are gone. I have been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love. Amazing grace. But how can this be? Because you read Leviticus chapter 5, verse 17. It says, just listen. If anyone sins, doing any of the things that the Lord's command, that the Lord commanded not to be done, he shall bear his iniquity. This verse says, if you are found in sin, you shall suffer consequences. If the sinner will be found sinning, he will get what he deserves. That's what the verse says. But the psalmist says, no, the Lord counts no iniquity on me any longer. The Lord does not see me or consider me as a man in sin anymore. I did not get what I deserve. The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. That's what the psalmist says. What happened? Verse 1. My sins are forgiven. They are blotted out. They are covered. There is a work of grace that has been done on my behalf. There is a work of righteousness done on my behalf. I am justified by faith. My sins are freely remitted. And the Lord has done this. Only the Lord has done this. I am set free. And as for me, yours truly, standing before you, I will say, there is a man who hanged upon a cross for my sins and took away my guilt and the punishment that was standing before me. There is a man who hung on that tree and absorbed the full wrath of God on my behalf, so that I should gain an interest in his saving blood. He died for me, the one who caused his pain. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forward, and followed thee. That's what Jesus grants to people. You arise. You go forward and follow him. What does following him mean? You live in righteousness. You live in the likeness of Christ. Day by day, God turns you or molds you to the image of his Son. I can tell you, friends, unless you are right with God, you cannot be happy. If you think you can persist in your life of sin, you are only fooling yourself. You will go to the grave a miserable person. And when you rise from the grave one day, you will still go on and be a miserable person. Unless you get right with God. As the prophet Nathan spoke to him, as he spoke to David, the Spirit of God directed David where to take his sin. He took his sins to the Lord. That's why he said, you forgave my sin. Where do you take your sins to? Do you bring your sins to the Lord? Or do you try to deal with your sins yourself? That is the question that you need to answer yourself. Because there is no tiny little sin or tiny little mistake. God doesn't look at mistakes. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he didn't die for mistakes. He died for sins. Whatever you call a mistake, examine it. Maybe it's sin, and that's what Christ died for. Where do you take your sin? He says, I took my sin to the Lord. In other words, when he brought his sins to the Lord, he began to feel the upliftment or taking off of that heavy burden upon his poor soul. That is what happens when you are forgiven, my friend. You feel the joy of forgiveness. You become free, which is why Jesus said, when the Son sets you free, you become free indeed. Why? Because he is the Son of God. He is that Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Holy One of Israel, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, whose kingdom is forever, the God in the flesh. The only one who can reconcile a sinful man with the Holy God and bring the two together to become one. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus of Nazareth. So church, the Son of God alone can uplift the burden of sin of sinners. Only he justifies the sinner through faith. That is what we see in verse number 2. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Oh, the happiness of him whom the Lord has justified through faith. The Lord does no longer find him guilty before him, because he has found someone else to take the guilt. Someone else takes that guilt for you and put it upon his shoulders. And he covered your sin by his blood. Jesus bore the weight of sin. Sin is now covered by his shed blood. Sin is no longer charged against a person whose sin is paid for. He gave his life a ransom for many. He felt that full impact of our sin upon the cross. And he is willing today to lavish you with the blessedness of forgiveness. If you will confess your sin and turn away from it, you will experience the blessedness of forgiveness. What is the blessedness of forgiveness? The kingdom of heaven will be yours. You shall inherit the earth. You shall be satisfied. You shall receive mercy. You shall see God. You shall be called sons and daughters of God. And the reward, your reward, is great in heaven. You find it in Matthew chapter 5. Your reward is great in heaven. That is the blessedness of forgiveness. Becoming a citizen of heaven, though still walking in the dusty streets of Secunda. But your home is in heaven. The blessedness of forgiveness. You sing the song very, very well and in a good understanding. My home is far away. It's not in this world. I'm just passing through. Because your home is prepared. You have received the blessedness of forgiveness by bringing your sins unto the cross of Christ. Not load it upon your shoulders, but bring it unto Him and take His burden upon you. Confess it to Jesus and receive the joy thereafter. These two verses tells us that the psalmist found the joy of forgiveness after he confessed his sins. After he confessed his sins, that's when he found the joy of forgiveness. So seek God while he may still be found. Call upon him while he's still near. Because God deals graciously with those who brings their lives in him. Those who will come and entrust their souls unto Jesus. God will deal graciously with you. You will not suffer the consequences of sin anymore. It will bring it unto God. So will you be reminded this morning to be a people who confess their sins? Will you be reminded this morning to be a people who consider Jesus to be worthy of taking away every sorrow and every burden upon you? Will you be reminded this morning that Jesus is the answer, not the only answer to broken hearts, but also to tormented souls, tormented by sin? He has the right to forgive sin. He is the Son of God. The question is, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That is the question. Let me close like this, my friends. There is a great misery in the refusal to confess sin to God. But there is a great benefit in confessing your sin. You become a friend of God. And there is joy, happiness that follows after. When you live in this world, continue in this world, you know that your home is in heaven. So seek to find that joy by confessing your sins to God. Because you cannot afford to put up a show and convince everyone that everything, all is well, when nothing is actually well between you and God. You cannot put up a show. You need to acknowledge and confess your sin. Do not ignore it when your conscience is condemning you. God has put that conscience in your heart for that very reason, not to condemn you, to show you that something is wrong. The Bible says, when our conscience condemns us, God is greater than our hearts, is greater than our conscience. He knows everything. When your conscience is condemning you, just imagine your own conscience condemning you. Bring your sins unto God. You need to follow the movement of this psalm. You need to learn from the negative experience of the psalmist when he avoided to confess his sin. You need to understand that the blessedness of forgiveness is found when sin is acknowledged, sin is confessed, and when it is forgiven. So we need to avoid the stubbornness of hearts. Look at verse number 9. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, which will not stay near. Do not harden your heart. Do not continue in stubbornness of heart. Lift up your eyes unto Jesus. He is faithful and just to forgive your sin. That is the blessedness of forgiveness, the life of Christ, and ever-flowing joy. Let us pray. Merciful God, your word is so full and so abounding in good things this morning. And we acknowledge humbly our weakness before you. We acknowledge our arrogance at times and our ignorance and the lack of understanding your word. So we pray, O Lord, that you may give us understanding of this important issue that we have dealt with this morning. Help us understand the importance of confessing our sins and bring our sins unto Jesus, and thus enjoy the true blessedness of forgiveness and become those who are forgiven sinners. Help us, O God, to cling unto you and not cling unto sin. To be conformed to the image of your Son, not the image of the world. Give us grace, O God, we humble ourselves. Let this be a helpful sermon this morning. Remind us of your truth throughout the whole week. In the name of your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May we all say Amen.